Last year, 250,000 children in the United States were removed from their homes and placed into foster care. And in 79% of those cases, the parents were charged with neglect rather than abuse. That statistic is cited at the start of Tough Love, a documentary that follows two parents, a young mother in New York and a single father outside Seattle, as they try to navigate through the confusing steps required to reestablish custody of their children and prove to themselves and the legal system that they can be good parents. It airs tonight at 10 on the PBS POV series. Got a wonderful review in today's New York Times. I'm very pleased to welcome Stephanie Wang Brill, its director-producer, and the parents, to the parents from New York, Hannah and Philly, to our show today. Hello.
Hello. How you doing?
Stephanie, about that statistic where most foster care cases involve parental neglect instead of abuse, isn't neglect a form of abuse?
No, absolutely not.
So abuse, how are they different?
Abuse is physical, sexual,
verbal
abuse, and neglect can be anything from insufficient housing to mental health issues to lack of housing. So those are very different things.
Your documentary follows two parents with children in the child welfare system. How did their kids enter the system?
So what's interesting in our film and what we did not expect when we started out was we ended up following two stories where each of the parents actually called for help. In Seattle, the father, Patrick, called CPS because he was worried about his daughter's safety with his girlfriend. And in our New York story with Hannah, she had called the police on her ex-boyfriend because he was physically abusing her.
Hannah, where were your two older children, AJ and Nina, throughout this whole process?
And we were living together, my kid's father and I, at his mother's house. And they were with us experiencing everything.
You left your ex-boyfriend and the father of the two older kids after a domestic violence incident. What had he done to you?
It was mostly verbal, and it had gotten physical one day. So I guess that was like a draw for me where I just had to pick up and leave.
But where did the neglect that you were accused of begin?
After I left him and I was home. There's so many different ways to call it wrong or right, but I was young, and I had just separated from the only man that I've ever loved, and I had two kids with me. So as a person, you can understand that was very difficult, and I made some bad choices hanging out. You know, I was young. I was really, really young. So, that's how they just looked at it, like I was neglecting my children.
And you were leaving them with your mother and your sister?
Yeah. When I would go out, my mother would babysit.
But a lot of people work out those kinds of arrangements. Why is that neglect in your case?
Honestly, I can't say I don't know. I mean, now that I'm a little older, I kind of understand. Like, I could have made better choices. But as far as the system goes, they are hard. You know, they look at the best interests of the children, too. So by the end of the day, it's all about the children and their best being. So that's really what it is.
Philly, how did you and Hannah meet?
Oh, actually, we grew up together. I knew her for like 10 years. So
you knew her through all of these problems.
Like, you know how life is, you know, you separate yourself. Like, you know, even though we grew up together, and then in previous times she disappeared, you know what I mean? She went to Staten Island, and then I moved to, like, the Bronx. So it's like, and then a friend brought us together again, like, oh, Hannah, how you been? How's everything? And I was like, oh, everything is good. And then we, like, connected again.
The biggest problem often when you're doing that sort of thing is connecting with the kids. How did that work out?
Before I became, like, a father, I was a stepfather. And, you know, we just connected naturally. Like, it wasn't like I was forcing myself or anything like that. It was just that it was genuine love. Like, they loved me genuinely. And everything was going great, you know, spend time with the kids.
Stephanie, what percentage of child welfare cases include domestic violence, even if it's against the mother and not the child?
So I'm not sure what that percentage is today because they've recently changed the laws based on a very famous case in the Supreme Court where a woman argued that why am I being punished when I filed for domestic violence and having my children taken away. So in New York, if this had happened a year ago, then Hannah would not have been, you know, so much under the microscope of ACS because she called for help.
ACS standing for Administration for Children's Services?
Correct.
How did you meet these two families, one in New York and one in Seattle?
So once I started to try to understand more of the parents' plight and what was going on for them, I decided to start looking for organizations that were trying to help parents. And I've met Hannah at the Child Welfare Organizing Project in East Harlem, New York. Every Wednesday, they hold a parent support group meeting for parents from all five boroughs to come and seek help to try to navigate the system and make their experience better. And that's where I met Hannah. And then through that organization, I also met a social worker from Seattle who was bringing a program that they had started to the Seattle system.
Do you have the sense that you could have found hundreds of other people in similar situations?
There are hundreds of other people in similar situations, and I was filming more than Patrick and Hannah, but only Patrick and Hannah let me continue through the entirety of their case.
And Hannah, you welcomed the filming?
In the beginning, I didn't know what I was getting myself into, so yeah, I would say I just like kind of walked into it blindfolded. But it was an amazing experience because of, I guess, like the motive behind it, why I were doing it. And that's really why I continued, actually, to help, to be heard, and to first possibly help other parents.
Now, you've seen the film. It was my sense that the Seattle system comes across as being less abrupt than New York's.
Well, I would definitely agree so, yes.
What are the problems here?
I mean,
and Philly, you could join in any time because you participated in this whole process.
Yeah, he's been through it every step of the way, like literally watching me go up and down a roller coaster. So the New York system is brutal. It's hard, and I don't know how else to call it, but it's tough as hell. Seattle, I'm grateful that, you know, there were good people out there to help Patrick because he's a good man, you know. So we just need more people like that.
Now, in Patrick's case, you pointed out, he reported his own daughter, Natalia, to CPS, the Children's Protective Services. Do parents often report their own cases?
No. That's what's so interesting about this story, these stories, is that they both sort of were seeking help.
And what were the reasons Patrick reported it?
He was calling the police because he had to go to jail for a misdemeanor, and he didn't feel like his daughter was safe with his ex-girlfriend.
Well, they both were meth addicts, and he didn't really want to leave her with the mother who was taking meth.
Absolutely.
So then what happens? You report that, you go to jail.
Well,
you come out,
he came out of jail 2 weeks later for the misdemeanor, and he went to go get his daughter, and then he learned that she was with a foster family and that he wasn't going to get her back unless he did X, Y, and Z. And he,
well, isn't that a good thing, to force people to do X, Y, and Z?
If he was a meth addict at the time, but at the time he was clean. He had been 4 years sober.
There's always that fear that people are going to slip back into their old ways.
Absolutely, but if he was using at the time, then that would have been totally valid.
In his case, the foster parents come across as really good people, and he got along very well with them. That isn't always the case. Does it really matter whether the foster parents are ideal or not?
Absolutely. It makes a big difference.
No, I mean in terms of the way the government works, not in terms of whether the parents and the children experience this.
I mean, I think that it's hard to find really good foster parents. I think that there are some amazing foster parents out there. I know amazing foster parents. But I also think that not all foster parents are the right pick for the child and for the family as well.
What was expected of the two of you, Hannah and Philly, so that you could break free of this whole system?
Oh, my God. Even looking at it now, I don't think you could ever break free from the system because
still,
what they ask
still
of
going
you
through things.
And, you know, like, it'll be nice to have an ideal life like that, you know, like you work, you have a place, you get married, you have children. It's, most cases, in every case, it's not like that. It's just the expectations that they had for me or for us. I can't say it was outrageous. It was just, like, not possible. You know, like, there was certain stuff that they that I had to obtain before even thinking about getting my kids back. And it was like, all right. Like
they was talking about having, like, a stable home.
Well, so, when she married you, wouldn't that have been one indication that she was looking for a stable home?
Yeah, we was looking for it, so we couldn't. You know, everything was so expensive, so we had to go to the shelter. And they was, you know, finding us not eligible, so it was very hard for us.
It was just a lot of obstacles in front of us. And not saying impossible to get to where they wanted us to get to, but it was just like, okay, you know. I mean, how can you expect so much from a parent? I mean, I'm here, I'm trying. I'm a good parent, you feel me? I want my children to be good, but...
But you had to convince them that
convince
you were
them, right.
not
but
going
it's
to
like all the stuff that they asked me for, and I took those steps. It's like holding me back, like as far as it goes, like we got married. Yeah, we had another child coming, but we need a stable housing. So we went through the shelter. That was shut down. We went through the shelter several times, actually, and they found us ineligible. And it's like, all right, so now how do the system work with us? Apparently, you're not working with us. You know what I mean? Like, you're just pushing me back and back and back, which now I can't get those time back with my kids. Now, how the hell are you helping me? You know what I mean? So that kind of gets a little frustrating along the way because it's like, oh, my God, you know, you're trying, but when does it end? When does it really end? Because it hasn't ended.
I'm talking with Hannah and Philly, two parents featured in a movie called Tough Love, which will be broadcast tonight on PBS's POV series. On Channel 13 here in New York, and Stephanie Wang Briel, who is the director-producer of the film. Stephanie, you get the feeling that things are structured better in Seattle than they are here in New York. The legal assistance that Patrick got seemed a lot better than what Hannah and Philly have received.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, what the team that Patrick had surrounding him, they definitely gave him a lot of tough love, which is where the title comes from. You know, they were sometimes rooting for him, and sometimes they were really hard on him, as you can see as you will see in the film. But as one person, while I was making the film, told me, if we can't get things right in Seattle, there's no way we'll ever get anything right in New York City.
Well, why don't we have a similar system here? After all, we probably have a much larger bureaucracy.
Because we have a much larger bureaucracy. There you go. That's it.
Throughout the movie, Hannah, you work with the Child Welfare Organization Project. Who were they?
My parent advocates, Teresa, Bevan J. Amazing people.
Are they volunteers?
They're not volunteers. They're parent advocates are people who've been through the system and who've been trained by CWAP to become... to help other parents navigate the system. And now recently they've been hired. There's a parent advocate at ACS,
right,
at different law firms.
But then you also have a court-appointed attorney, and Patrick's court-appointed attorney seems much more involved in his case than yours does.
Correct.
What kind of representation did you get?
They just assigned a lawyer to me. I forgot the name of it, but when I did finish watching the video, it was kind of different because I'm like, wow, you know, like he got that support. Like me, I walked in a courtroom every single time I walked in with a blindfold. I didn't know what was going on, what was gonna happen. I couldn't understand things clearly. There were so many big words thrown at me, so it's like,
and people weren't explaining
what was going nothing on. I would just be in and out and then be home upset and crying like, what did I do wrong? You know, so yeah, as far as the parent advocate goes, they helped me tremendously. I believe we need more people like that. If they were in my life a little before everything, I think I probably would have been in a better place.
What about the family treatment court?
So what was interesting about the first time I observed family treatment court, I couldn't believe the sounds of the courtroom. There was laughter, there was clapping, there was, you know, points given out, all these different types of sounds. When I was observing Hannah in the New York City courtroom, it's whisper, whisper, whisper between the lawyers, whisper, 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 and then this is all outside of the courtroom. Mm-hmm. And then they go in, mm-hmm. The parent says nothing, the lawyers speak for each system, and then they walk out in like 2 to 5 minutes.
And the judge or nobody else asks you many questions other than your name and serial number.
Right. I literally felt like I was like a number that they just picked out. What was crazy about the whole experience that I understand a little better now is that while through the whole experience, if everybody were to be involved the way they should have, like in Patrick's case, maybe as parents, as the father, you know, my kid's father and me, we probably would have been able to come together and have a better understanding and probably work through this a little faster. But they kept us separated for so long, and they had all these bricks thrown at us, literally, like that's how it felt, that it was like, we can't get together as parents again. You understand? So it's like, okay, so now we're like in war. And it's a constant battle, and it just doesn't end. And it's like the system just likes, I don't know if they love to be at war or what the case may be, but it's kind of frustrating.
What was also interesting, at the end of her case, there was no parenting plan put in place.
Right.
Even though her rights were not terminated, she didn't know what she could do. What were her rights to her children?
Well, Philly, at the beginning of the film, Hannah's pregnant with your child. But even before the child is born, she's subjected to ACS Alert 14. What's that?
Pretty much she was, once she was born, they was put in the system because Hannah had the case, so they had to add the baby, Mia, to the case.
So you become part of the system even though you had nothing to do with the previous case.
Exactly. So it was pretty hard for me, you know, I'm a first-time parent, and going through that situation, like, I didn't know what to do. Like, at times I wanted to run away. Like, it was so difficult for me, but I still put, you know, and everything, you know, me went well so far, you know. But it was pretty hard, you know, hearing that your firstborn is in the system and you had nothing to do with it.
Your custody of your unborn child is under review even before she's born.
Yeah. Yes.
Most fathers don't have to go through that.
No, never.
So what do you think, Stephanie? Does the system generally tend to unfairly favor mothers over fathers, or vice versa?
I definitely think that gender plays a role in the child welfare cases. I think that fathers actually are unexpected to show up. And when they do, everyone's really happy and really excited.
And do you think race plays a role in the way some of these cases are decided?
Absolutely. The way that Hannah and her friends would talk to me about ACS while we were filming, they would say, oh, Johanna, you know, my friend Johanna, she caught a case. Or like it was a flu. You know, it's interesting that in New York City, the disproportionality of blacks and Latinos and people of color in the system is quite immense.
Throughout both of the processes you witnessed in making the film, did anyone ever ask the kids what they wanted?
Absolutely. In the New York system, they have the children have lawyers, and they're represented by legal aid. And then in Seattle, the children are represented by CASA, which you hear very often from in the film.
I don't want to give away the ending completely because that's part of what keeps us, drives us in watching the film. But how are you and the kids doing, Philly?
Oh, we good. You know, everything is...
How old are they now?
AJ is 9 and Nia is 8. And Mia is 3. She's going to be 4 in September. So we pretty much got a great relationship. You know, I met them when they was 3 and 4. So I've been in their life a long time. So it's like they look up to me like their father, like, you know. So everything's good. You know, they listen. They're good kids, you know. They're doing good in school, so hopefully everything ends up good.
And you look like you're happy as well, Hannah. Or happier than you've been for a while.
Yeah, definitely. I think I'm in a lot better place right now. And see a lot of good things happening.
And Patrick seems to be in a better place as well. So there's kind of a happy ending to these stories.
We'll see.
Right.
Stephanie Wang Briel, director, producer of Tough Love, tonight on PBS's POV series, Hannah and Philly, parents featured in the show. I thank you both so much for being on our show today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
This is great.
Yeah.